Well, great. Now, I want to continue from last week. The fact that God says in His Word that we have been approved and entrusted with this gospel. And like I said, we looked at the fact that this is good news. And that the Word says in Romans 1 verse 16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. I mean, isn't that powerful to hear that testimony again? You know, that God has chosen the foolishness of the gospel, the good news, to bring men unto salvation. Not great works or great mystery or great places, but actually the good news. And that we as Christians should understand that this is the power of God and it is good news to be shared. And that we have been approved and entrusted with this good news. And then we looked and we touched just very briefly on 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 to 20 that says, Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, and this is where I want to continue from this little part here. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We see again so clearly in this picture that we have been entrusted with the good news of God's love for this world, and that we are His ambassadors, as though He is pleading through us to the world to be reconciled. And I want us to look at just that. God has placed on my heart a scripture for a few weeks now, and I've been asking God about this scripture because it didn't really make sense to me. I've really struggled with this portion of scripture, and I've been asking God, not just what does it mean, but what is the significance of this scripture in the context of what God is saying to us as a church over the past couple of weeks and months. And that's really to mobilize, to push the line, to advance the kingdom, to share the good news. And as I was speaking to God about this scripture that keeps on coming up in the midst of this, and I was asking God, I want to know what you mean with this. And what is the significance of this scripture in the context of what I sense you are saying to us as a church? And it's found here in Matthew chapter 6. I guess it's a well-known portion of scripture, but it's quite a puzzling one. And I'll share with you in a moment. But let's just first read Matthew chapter 6 from verse 22. I must just get to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. From verse 22. If you have a Bible, please turn there with me. I know it's on the screen, but I'm going to read more than what's on the screen. So that you don't lose the ability to navigate the Bible. But here in Matthew 6 verse 22, it says, The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eyes are good, the whole body is full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And I've really been struggling with this portion of scripture because I'm a bit of a teacher. So whenever I read something significant, I want to see the context. I want to see, you know, what is the context in which God is speaking? And what really puzzled me about this portion of scripture was the context. And I want us to read the context. It is almost as if somebody copied and pasted this portion of Scripture in the wrong place. Because let me just read for you the context in which it takes place. It starts here from verse 19. It says, Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth or rust destroy, or where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth or rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, and if the eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Do you see the context? I mean, Jesus is speaking about finance and treasures. And then all of a sudden, he speaks about the eye being the lamp of the body. And then again, it talks about finance. And we've heard this portions of Scripture so much taught in finance, where they take verse 19 and they take verse 23. But do you see, within the context, it seems as if it doesn't fit in. And I've been asking God about this, about what are you saying? What are you trying to say? And then I read the same account in Luke. And when I read it again in Luke, there is where God started to speak to me about the connection between this portion of Scripture and where and what is speaking to us. And in Luke 11 from verse 33, we read in context, "No one shall lit a lamp and put it in a secret place under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." Now, I'm sure that you have heard many sermons on verse 33. You know, where Jesus in Matthew, the context there is Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says, "You are the light of the world." You know, you don't lit a lamp and hide it under a basket, but you put it on a lampstand so that everybody can see its light. And again, in that context, it does speak about the fact that we have been entrusted with the gospel. Jesus entered the world by declaring that "I am the light of the world." And then just before he leaves, he turns to his disciples and he says, "Now, well, you are now the light of the world." And you don't take the light and you hide it under a basket, but you put it on a lampstand so that everybody can see you've been entrusted with the good news. Shine your light in such a way that the whole world will see. And then he says something powerful. We see another lamp. He says, "The lamp of the body," verse 34, "is the eye." So there's another lamp. The eye is what we used to see with. I mean, that's what we have eyes for. We use our eyes to see, don't we? We use our eyes to see the world and to process what we see through our minds and our hearts. And Jesus says something very powerful. He says that the eye is the lamp of the body. The eye reflects what is going on inside of you. If your eye is good, then everything within you is good. But if your eye is bad, it is a reflection of what is going on within you. Now, this is not an advertisement for Specsavers. Okay? Maybe for Lifesavers, but not for Specsavers. It's nothing to do with whether or not you wear glasses. Okay? God is not speaking about your physical ability, but He's speaking about something far greater. Because He says, the way you see things is a reflection of what is going on inside of you. And that is quite challenging. how we look at the world and the people around us is a reflection of what is going on inside of us. If we are critical and negative most of the time, or are we positive and optimistic most of the time? Because in the context of the gospel, you must remember, the gospel is good news. It's not bad news. It's the fact that God so loved the world, that His motivation was love, that He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believes in Him should be saved and not perish. For God did not save His Son, verse 17, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That is good news. And we have this treasure, Matthew, within us. We have been approved and entrusted with the good news. And then Jesus says, we must be careful how we look at the world, how we see things around us, because that is a reflection of what is going on in us. How do you see this glass of water? Is it half empty or half full? I mean, that's what Jesus is actually saying. He's saying, listen, how do you view the world? Because the way you view the world and the people and things around you is a reflection of what's going on in you. The treasure within you. I mean, if you have the good news, the fact that God has come to save, to restore, to reconcile, to make new, it should be reflected in the way you look at people. Because that is what you've been entrusted with. It's not so much about our observation, but our expectation and interpretation of what we see. That reflects what is in us. When we see the glass, it's not that we're in denial that it's half empty. But it's how do we interpret the half emptiness that we see? What do we speak over the glass that is half empty? And that what we speak, how does that reflect the treasure within us? How we as Christians speak in this world will reflect to the world whether the news that we have inside is good or bad. And there are so many Christians that walk around interpreting this world badly. They see all the mistakes and the wrong, and they speak, they interpret that with condemnation. How you speak to the world around you is reflecting the message that is within you. And Jesus speaks these powerful words. It's not so much what we observe, but our expectation of that what we see. Do we talk about how bad this half empty glass is? Or how much better a full glass is when we see a bad glass, of a half full glass? How do we talk about this glass when we see it's half empty? Is it how bad it is? How wrong it is? Do we constantly talk about how a full glass should be? Or what about if you see the half empty glass, start talking about the quality of the water? It's not just that it's half empty, but the quality of the water. Is this rainwater? Is it purified water? Does it come from the municipality? You know how bad the tap water is in this town. And all the things that you can get from tap water. Have you heard people like that? I'm not knocking people that love purified water. Fairly sells them. and God bless you for that. But you know what I'm saying? Some people will go on how bad the half empty bed is. You know, and how really how bad the water is. I mean, the glass is not empty for crying out loud. But we will complain about the halfness of it and the quality of it. Or how much better a half a glass was back in the day. I remember back in the day when the glasses were still big. You know, at least then when the glass was half, you would have gotten a half a liter. Now when it's half, you know, it's like two swallows and it's, you know, and we can go on and on how good it was back in the day when it was half empty. As opposed to today when it's half. Well, what about the shape of the glass? You know, it's not what it used to be. In the old days we had a little handle, you know. Now we don't have a handle. I mean, where, how do you, you know, it doesn't feel, you know, the glass is not the same quality anymore. You know, and we can go on and on about the half empty glass. But that is a reflection of the treasure within us. And the world around us is listening by saying, you've got news. Is it good or bad? But what are the things that we are saying? And then you get people that says, can you, have you noticed the glass is half empty? We're all going to die of thirst. No, you're not going to die of thirst. But you have people like that. The glass is not empty, but we're already dying of thirst. Because it's not overflowing. Who would you like to be around people like that? Jesus says something powerful. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. The eye reflects on what's going on inside. It's not about our physical eyesight or our observation. It's about our interpretation and what we speak over what we see. What are we saying? And from what are we saying it? From where are we speaking it? What is our reference when we speak an interpretation, a judgment, a conclusion over that what we see in life? Good or bad? From where do we speak what we see? Because our interpretation is a reflection of the reality within us, Jesus says. Here in Matthew 12, verse 34, he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his, he brings forth good things. But an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. In Luke 6, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And again, he says there, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Do you see that? What is the treasure from which you speak? I have realized that I have been entrusted with good news. I've been entrusted with the gospel. I've been entrusted with the message of reconciliation, the message of restoration, the message of hope, the message of the broken being restored, the sick healed, the disillusioned given identity, the disregarded given a future and a hope and identity and a love, and that God has come to restore, to bless. That is the good news that I have been entrusted with. And when I look into the world, how do I interpret it? What do I communicate? Because what and how I communicate to the world around me is going to give the world a glimpse of what is inside of me. What is this news? Are they going to interpret this treasure that is within me as good or as bad? Because they're going to interpret it through the way I speak about what I see around me. I have a treasure inside of me, and I have a key, and we all have been approved and entrusted with this treasure, this good news, the gospel. And God has given us the key to unlock that treasure within our heart and to speak from that place. But all of us have been entrusted with this treasure, but I've also realized that we have been given the key to either unlock it and speak from that place, or to speak from our flesh, from our life. Cheers, Mohammed. May God bless you today. I know you must go to work. From which treasure do we speak? Do I speak from eternal life? Or do I speak from a worldly view? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 17, he says, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh." He says, from now on, I no longer look at anyone according to the world's view, but from an eternal view. I've taken the key and I've opened this treasure, and it's like glasses that I put on to my eyes through which I interpret what I see. Even though we know Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see how Paul views the life? You see how Paul speaks about anyone that he meets? That is a reflection of the treasure within him. And we have been given the keys to life, to unlock that treasure through which we speak. Proverbs 18:21, we know it so well. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. There is something powerful about the things that we say, and more specifically, from where we say it. If we speak it from that treasure of eternal life, it will produce life. If we speak it from the flesh, it will also produce. Matthew 16:19 says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." You know what? We are ambassadors of God, as though Christ were pleading through us, be reconciled to God. God has given us the gospel, the power of God that leads men unto salvation. He's given us the good news, eternal life, salvation within us as a treasure. And He's given us the keys to unlock that treasure, that from that place, as ambassadors, as representatives of, that's an ambassador, a representative of a nation. We are the representation of God on this world, entrusted with good news. Not bad news, good news. And we've been given the keys to unlock eternal life and to speak that. Speak that. Not so long ago, I heard somebody say, and I don't know who it is, my wife quoted the person, and it made me think again, speaking about Christians living in fear. Christians that is stressing about life and living in fear. And he says something so powerful. He said, Christians living in fear advertises God's unreliability. Christians living in fear advertise God's unreliability. Because if he is reliable and he is faithful to his word, then I will not fear. Because he says he loves me and he cares for me. The way we live our lives and the things that we say is a reflection of the news that we bear. And we have a key in each one of us to unlock eternal life. That we can speak life. And when we start to speak life from eternal life, from that gift, God says, whatever you bind will be bound, and whatever you loose will be loosed. And you must remember, life and death is in the power of your mouth. I remember when we did Tar Track 10, 15 years ago, God called us to do a Jericho march around the country. And we traveled around the country. We didn't walk it. It would take too long, so we cycled it. We cycled 5,000 kilometers. Around the outside borders of the country in 6 weeks. And every 100 kilometers we stopped and we prayed for the country. We came together, we had intercession, our group, we trusted God for His heart for the nation. Then we came back together and we prayed. And I remember the reason we went is because God said there are things I was doing community development, you know, it's a long story, but I was heading up the community development. I was asking God, how must I change the poverty and the need and everything that I see in this country and the division and the walls and all this stuff. It's just so overwhelming. And God said, but it starts in the spirit. This what you see in the natural is built on a foundation that is in the spirit. And you must go and you must break down the walls through prayer. And I want you to go and I want you to speak life. I want you to go and speak life in this country. Because at the time when we did it was in the late 90s, just after the elections. And there was just so much fear in this country and so much negativity. And everybody was just speaking negativity over this nation. And it is going for the dogs. And it's going down. And it's going to be destroyed. And the mismanagement and the corruption. And everybody was just speaking death, death, death. Whether you were in church or out of church, people were just sowing seeds. They were just sowing death over this nation. And God said, you go and you go speak life. Go sow seeds of life. Because the seed that we sow, it's going to grow. Whether it's life or death. There is power in the words that we speak. And we have been given the key to unlock that treasure within us and speak from a place of life. Speaking life over our nation. Not being naive. Not ignoring that the glass is half full, but speaking, man, even if it's a quarter full, I can speak death over that glass, or I can speak life over it. I remember so many South Africans, when we went to London, came over negatively. You know what? They come there, and they all come back. 90% of the South Africans that went over in the 7 years that I've been there, they're all back here. When I come to South Africa, I was at a wedding again, this conducting a wedding of my PA for 6-7 years. It's so special to share this day with her. She's 33 and I had so many hours of speaking to her about that day. And it was so great to be there and to see so many of my congregation there. They all came back. Negative, they went there and they all came back because guess what? This is a great country. This is a great country. But what seeds are we sowing over this nation? What seeds are you sowing over your own life? What seeds are you sowing in this church and over this church? What seed are you sowing over somebody else's life? I always say, you know what? It takes no skill to identify weakness in somebody. It takes no skill to identify weakness in somebody. It takes a lot of skill to help that person grow that weakness into a strength. And we have the power to speak to this glass and speak life into it. God has given us the keys to use. Speak life. And you know what? Not just speak life, add life to it. Just, you know, if it's quarter full, great. Well, just what are we going to do about it? Let's fill it. How are we going to fill it? Instead of spending hours and days and weeks talking about that it's only quarter full, let's rather talk about how we can fill it. That's good news. That's a reflection of what God has sent His Son to this world to seek and save the lost, the sinners. While we were still enemies, God saved us. We need to learn to speak life. And I'm going to ask God to help us to open this treasure within us, this eternal life, and to speak from that place in this world around us, in our families, in our church, in our relationships, to speak life. To speak from that place. Not just to see the glass half empty, but to start speaking life into that glass and to add ourselves into it so that we can see it filled, so that God can be glorified. Because that's what we've been called to. I'm going to stop here and I'm going to ask God to do that in us. To give us a revelation of the good news that is within us. And an understanding that we've been given the keys to unlock that place of eternal life. And that we start speaking from that place as ambassadors of God, with the commission of God to bring good news. And I want to encourage you in your workplace, in your home, in your church, no matter where you are facing half-empty glasses and quarter-empty glasses, I want to challenge you to take a month and just speak life and see what starts to grow. Speak life. Speak life in your workplace. Speak life over that unsaved, ungodly environment that you live and work in. Speak life over your boss. Speak life over your colleagues. Pray for them. Go with an expectation, with an understanding that God, I'm here in this dark place as your representative. And I'm going to speak life here, God. I'm going to pray that you prosper this business, God. I'm going to pray, Lord, that you save the MD, God. I'm going to pray for this hard-knackered atheist, God. I pray that you will soften his life, God. I pray that you will bless him. Isn't that what Jesus taught us about our enemies? We should bless them and not curse them. Because the seed that we sow, that is going to produce. I want to ask you to speak life over this nation. There's a lot of bad seed sown. Somebody got to start sowing good seed. Because our children are going to reap what we sow. So speak life over Zuma. Speak life over the ANC. Speak that God would save them. That's what needs in the ANC. Let them all get saved. So let's speak life. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you, God, for what you've given us through your Son. God, you've given us life. God, you have saved us, Lord, when we were still in that pit, in that mud, God, in our guilt, in our shame. God, you reached out, Lord, when we were half empty. No, Lord, we were a broken vessel with nothing in us. And God, you came down on your knees and you picked our pieces up. You hold it close to your heart, God, and you breathed life in it. And you put us together, God. You are healing us, restoring us. You're pouring your Spirit back into us. And you love us. God, I pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes, not just to see the brokenness in this world, Lord, but to speak life into it. And God, to add ourselves into the brokenness of this world so that we can see it changed. restored, redeemed, that you might be glorified. God, I want to pray that you will give us the keys. You've already given us the keys. God, I just pray, Lord, that you will give us the understanding to use them. Lord, I want to pray for the seed that we sow every day. God, I want to pray that you would bless the seed. Lord, as we pray that you would bless the offering and bless the hearts that sowed, Lord, I want to pray, Father, that you would bless the seed that we sow with our mouth. God, I want to pray for good seed to come out of this church into this town. Lord, I want to pray for all the churches, God. I want to pray that we would be sowing good seed and not bad seed. Lord, I want to pray for that keys that you've given us to that treasure. God, I want to pray that we will start to open the treasure that you have given us and speak from that place. God, I want to pray, Lord, for those of us that are struggling with those keys. And maybe you are here today and you are struggling to open that treasure. I really believe God wants to teach you to open the treasure that He has given you. And if you are here and God is speaking, you just respond to Him. Say, God, here I am. I want you to teach me to open this treasure within me. If there's anybody, I just want you to respond before God just by raising your hand. You can just drop it again. Just raise your hand before God. Say, God, I want you to teach me to open this treasure within me. And maybe you are here today and you are struggling with fear. You have fear in your life. I really believe God wants to reveal to you who He is so that you can be free of fear. So that you can see what He has given you in Christ. If that is you, if you're struggling with fear, I would just want you to respond to God. Say, God, here I am, Lord. Help me to overcome my fear, God. I want to be free of fear. Just respond to God. And then I want to pray for some people here today. You have received a lot of bad seed. I don't know whether it's family or fathers or mothers or siblings or friends or the church. But you've been receiving a lot of bad seed. I want to sow good seed in your life. If that is you, just respond to God. And then I want to give an opportunity. Maybe you're here and you're hearing about all this good seed and this good news and this treasure and you fear you don't have it. You've never come to the place where you have discovered this treasure of Christ in your life. And maybe you fear you've lost it. But it doesn't matter whether you have it or you've lost it. If you want that treasure, I want to give you an opportunity today to receive that treasure that is in Christ. If that is you, I just want you to respond to God by just raising your hand. I'm going to ask you, everybody that raised their hands, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I want you to respond. I want you to come forward. Because I want to pray for you. So if you've raised your hand, it doesn't matter for what you raised your hand, I want you to come forward. I'm going to ask the facilitators and we're going to pray for your life. Can I ask you to do that quickly? If you raise your hand, come forward. Come now and receive good seed. Come now to receive the keys. Come now to receive the freedom from fear. Come now to receive that treasure that you long for. Because that is what church is about. It's about bringing you to the place where you can receive the good news. So Father, I want to thank you for all these people. I want to ask facilitators, the cell facilitators and those who have a heart to pray, just to come forward and to start to minister. And God, I want to pray for these people that is responding here today. God, I want to pray, God, and I want to thank you for their lives, Lord, because I know you love them. You love them so much that you have given your Son to redeem their lives. To set them free. God, you say, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And God, when you hang on that cross, you said, it is finished. It is over. Once and for all, God. So I want to pray for those who are struggling with fear, God. I want to pray and I want to declare that it is finished. And God, you have given your Son to prove to us how much you love us. God, I want to pray, Lord, right now, Lord. I just want to pray for a peace, God. A revelation of how much you love us. And how much you love them as individuals. God, I want to pray, Father, that your love will just flood their hearts, God, that they may see how great, how wide, how deep, how awesome your love is for us. And that you say that you know the number of hair on their head, God, and you do not allow the smallest bird to fall to the ground without the knowledge of your Father. And God, I want to declare that you are worth much more than many birds. You are not a budgie. You are the Son of God, a child of Him. And He loves you. God, I want to pray for those who are here, Lord. I want to pray for those, Lord, that needs to sow good seed. God, I want to pray, Father, that you would open our eyes to see the good seed that we've got. Lord, and I want to pray, Father, that we will sow that seed with faith in that treasure that we have. God, so I want to pray that we will start to speak life, Lord. God, I want to pray for those who are struggling to unlock that place of goodness, of salvation, of restoration. Lord, those who are struggling, God, to stand in that authority. God, I want to pray, Lord, that you will open their eyes to see the keys. God, I want to pray, Lord, where are you? Just raise your hands. Who are struggling with keys? Who are those struggling with keys? God, I want to just pray, Lord. I want to pray for these people, Lord. I want to pray, Father, that right now you will give her the keys, Lord, to unlock, Lord. Just give him the keys, God, to unlock that glorious, rich treasure, the authority and the power, God, that you have given to your Spirit, God, to be your ambassadors. God, I want to pray, Lord, that they will see, that they will experience, God, that they will move, Lord, in that place, God, of absolute control, Lord. Of absolute control of the destiny that you have given them, Lord. I want to pray, Father, that they move from that place of authority, speaking life, God. Speaking life, Lord. I pray that you give them a revelation, God, of who they have become in Christ Jesus, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they will speak that life in Jesus' name. I want to pray for those of you that have been sown bad seed. Who are you? Who have been sowed bad? Can you just step forward, because I'm going to spend some time with you. So you can just come forward a little bit. Those who have received bad seed, just come forward. Come closer that I can see who you are. Lord, Father, I want to thank you for these people, and I'm going to pray for you, and I want the facilitators, if you can pray for the rest. I want to pray for these people. Where are oil? So I'm going to ask you, as you are there, just to bear with us for a moment. We're going to pray for these people. And then, very importantly, is there anybody here that wants to receive Christ, that wants to receive that treasure, that place of abundance, of assurance, of knowing that you accepted? Is there anybody here? Just raise your hand. Amen. I